The people united can never be defeated. The people united can never be defeated.
On August 22nd, at a rally on the steps of City Hall, Ben Jealous, head of the NAACP, praised the heroes of the struggle for the Community Safety Act.
The young people of this city who have stood up, and their parents and aunts and uncles who have stood up with them, are heroes to the city and to the country. I'm here today to say that the community groups, CPR, and all who come under the umbrella are heroes. And most importantly, these 34 city council members,
yes,
who have come together across lines of ethnicity, yep, and faith and geography and orientation are heroes.
Yes, they are.
The Community Safety Act is comprised of two bills. One creates NYPD oversight in the Office of an Inspector General, which has subpoena powers. The other ends discriminatory policing and provides a path for people who are racially profiled to take legal action against the NYPD. New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg waged vehement attacks against the legislation. He vetoed both bills and tried to pick off some of the 34 council members needed to override his veto. Bloomberg, using scare tactics, said the city would be unsafe if the Community Safety Act became law. But Brooklyn Councilmember Jemani Williams, co-sponsor of the bills, would have none of that.
The fact that we can have an administration lying completely with the PBA about what these bills do, misinforming the public, creating dangerous situations by telling police officers not to come out of their vehicles, is a problem.
Williams railed against Bloomberg's characterization. Standing in front of media with supporters behind him, he points to huge posters with graphs that show no correlation between stop and frisk and the number of guns taken off the streets.
Please stop lying to the people of New York City. Where's the other one? They also say and claim that the other thing, it helps shootings in New York City. There is no correlation between shootings in New York City under this mayor's tenure and the amount of stops. As a matter of fact, if you look closely, you'll see a dip in shootings with a dip of stops. Please stop lying to the people of New York City. Let me see the other one. The mayor claims and takes responsibility for dropping the murder rate historically.
Williams points to a third graph based on NYPD statistics. It shows there's no correlation between the number of stops and the rate of murders, which are going down in New York City. And it's the young people of color who've been profiled. They've been stopped. They grow up under the threat of being stopped and under a cloud of suspicion by the NYPD when they've done absolutely nothing wrong. This is what's caused pain and suffering in Black and Latino communities, but also in white communities who say this treatment is unjust and has to stop. Donna Lieberman, executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, has been at most rallies for police reform.
Law enforcement policies that start from the presumption that young men of color are suspicious or dangerous are not okay. It was not okay for George Zimmerman to assume that a black teen with a hoodie was a criminal, and it's not okay for the NYPD to do that either. It's wrong, it's racist, it's demeaning, and it's dangerous to the health and well-being of our communities.
And Hector Figueroa, head of 32BJ SEIU, which represents over 50,000 service workers in New York City, brings voice to the simplicity of what New Yorkers want.
That we will be able to lock in the city of New York for policing in our communities in a way that respects our civil rights.
And Manhattan Council Member Melissa Mark Vavorito says to the crowd on the steps of City Hall, we're making history.
How does it feel?
Great!
And on the eve of the March on Washington, it couldn't be better timing. When we talk about ineffective public policies that discriminate, that alienate, that stigmatize, that is what the current stop and frisk program is doing to a whole generation of our youth. So this is an incredible moment
Mark Veverito says it's not only elected officials who are making NYPD reform possible, but it's community mobilization and effective communication of issues that made the case on how police policies continue to hurt New York City communities.
Everybody joining with me. Override veto, 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 override.
Everyone on the steps of City Hall went inside to the City Council chambers.
Can I have some quiet on the floor, please? Quiet on the floor. Please take a seat. Quiet on the floor.
And the vote to override the mayor's vetoes of the Community Safety Act began. Some members chose to speak as they cast their votes. Councilmember Charles Barron expressed the feelings of those in the gallery and many on the floor of the chambers.
On this day, we have families that their loved ones had the final stop, death. Romali Graham got no justice. Kimani Gray, death, no justice. Sean Bell, no justice, death. Timothy Stansberry, death at the hands of New York City police, the police that we paid to protect us. So while we celebrate today, and we should, let's remember that these families and so many others, no laws on these books protected them. We must resist the abusive use of deadly force, of brutality, and certainly racial profiling. And also remember, in these struggles, doesn't come out of a vacuum. Reverend Herbert Daughtry and the Black United Front have been struggling for decades around these issues. They won't be mentioned on the news tonight, and they won't be mentioned in these records, but there wouldn't be no today if it wasn't for Viola Plummer and the December 12th movement, Reverend Herbert Daughtry, others who put it on the line to make this day possible. So while we celebrate, let's not forget history. Finally, to the mayor, shame on you. Monitoring? Nobody's going to jail where they belong. Nobody's getting fired. We're just talking about monitoring the police, monitoring, watching them, and you say no. I can't wait to January 1st, 2014, when you are out of this city and take.
We need to have silence up in the balcony.
Take your buddy Kelly with you. And for the future mayoral candidates who are considering Kelly, reconsider. Because he needs to go along with the mayor. I can't wait to that date. Congratulations, Brother Jumaane, for the work you've done and for all of us who really put this. But we must resist. Let's go back to our communities and make sure that these laws have feet and power of the enforcement of the people. Straight ahead.
Next, we need to have silence.
34 members are needed to pass bills in the City Council, and there was concern about whether two council members would make the vote. But there she was in a green dress, almost at full term. Yulisa Ferreras chose to speak about how this historic day could change how her child grows up in New York City.
Today I stand as a council member, as a Latina of color, and unapologetic for being 8.5 months pregnant. expecting my first child, a baby boy. As I contemplate the future of what he may grow up to accomplish, I cannot help but to think about the limitations and unfair judgment he may face as a young man of color growing up. What our generation needs is less judgment and more acceptance. The same can be said for the future generations coming after us. The plight of young African American and Latino men and women has been difficult enough if you reflect on our nation's history. As a legislator, as a future mother, the change must begin with us. Today is the day we say enough. By casting our vote to override this veto, we are all taking a huge step forward in protecting the rights of all New Yorkers. and for all the women and mothers that have lost their children. I bear and I look forward to giving birth to this young man because I know he's coming into a better New York City. Thank you.
Quiet in the chambers. The next council member we have to speak, it might be a little bit jet-lagged, was the topic of a news story with drama in the air. He was doing a good work down in Peru, South America, but he made sure he made his way back. Councilmember Fernando Cabrera.
Thank you so much, Majority Leader. Indeed, it was a long flight, 13-hour flight. And as I was coming in the flight, I was just thinking about the vote that we're about to take and the importance of it. And I thought about the mayor. The mayor has proposed that somehow that if we pass these bills, that we're going to see crime go up. And my parents always taught me the end does not justify the means, even if he was right, even if he were to be right about the numbers, the end does not justify the means. Process matters because it says a lot about who we are. It says a lot about human dignity. The moment that we lose sight of the value and the dignity of every single one of our citizens, that's the day that we lose our soul and we lose the conscience of our city.
Cabrera says this is a great opportunity to show who we are as a city, which the rest of the world looks to for leadership. But there's work to be done, says Manhattan Council member Yadanis Rodriguez.
Today, we are sending the message loud and clear. Yes, Dominican, Latino, Black, White, Asian, all of us have the same right. And we are also saying to Martin Luther King, to Rosa Parks, to Cesar Chavez, to the Jews, to the whites who marched 50 years ago, we have only one city, we only have one society.
Rodriguez says we have to continue fighting until all children are treated equally. City Council Speaker Chris Quinn supports only one of the two bills, Intro 1079, which calls for an inspector general. She says it's an incredibly important piece of legislation because it creates a permanent monitoring mechanism to look at broad practices, policies, and trends of the NYPD.
You know, some have said that crime will rise if we put independent monitoring of the police department. Well, let's look at the facts. In Los Angeles, after monitoring was put in place, crime went down 33%, and community approval of the police department went to 84% positive. That is what we can have in New York City. Be the safest big city in America, but do it in a way that doesn't violate civil liberties and, in fact, unites the police and communities across this city.
The council members' votes on overturning Mayor Mike Bloomberg's vetoes of the Community Safety Act are soon after federal judge Shira Shinlin ruled in the stop and frisk class action case, Floyd versus City of New York. In her ruling, she installed a monitor over the practice of stop and frisk and called some police tactics unconstitutional in violation of the 4th and 14th Amendments.
Federal judge's ruling that said what most New Yorkers knew was true. Stopping 700,000 New Yorkers, the vast majority of them people of color, over 85% of them, if not more, innocent, people who were not arrested, charged with no crimes, had no weapons on them, no contraband, that is a practice that is unconstitutional and must come to an end. And the Inspector General will help make sure that comes to an end, but as importantly, will help make sure that no other police practices in the future ever get to the point where a federal judge has to intervene and tell us that our police department has been acting unconstitutionally.
Co-sponsor of the Community Safety Act is Brad Landers, council member from Brooklyn. He says the inspector general will find areas where there is concern.
Whether that's allegations about inappropriate surveillance of mosques and Muslim students groups, or crash safety investigations, or whether undercover detectives are left in their posts too long, we can't know based simply on allegations whether they really are or really aren't problems. We need someone to go in to do the investigation, to take a look, to give us that report.
I know that many of you do not understand how a black mother feels, you know, when a child goes out, or a Latino mother.
Brooklyn Councilmember Albert Vann.
It's probably impossible, almost impossible for you to understand and feel that. But yet, most of you voted to pass out these bills because you know it is just. The winner today is justice.
Donovan Richards, a council member from Brooklyn, knows exactly what Al Vann is talking about. He was stopped by NYPD when he was just 13 years old, and he wants to ensure that youth are no longer stopped because of the color of their skin.
You cannot have a marriage without trust, and we cannot live and make sure this city is running safely without trust. So today we say, let's renew our vows. I've been married 2 years, that's why I'm saying that. But let's renew our vows today and build community policing and trust.
And fair community-based policing without profiling by the NYPD is what Queens Councilmember Jimmy Van Bramer wants. He says as a gay man, he knows what it's like to have judgments made against him which have no basis in fact.
No one's civil rights should be sacrificed, nor is the sacrificing of people's civil rights legitimate collateral damage in our efforts to have a safe city.
Once the bills passed into law on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington, the two co-sponsors of the Community Safety Act, Jemani Williams and Brad Landers, left the chambers of the City Council for the steps of City Hall to congratulations by advocates for police reform. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.